Let's read a couple scriptures. Luke 9:51. Luke 9:51. Then we'll read Joshua 1:1-3. Luke 9:51. It says, "When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up." When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, listen to this. It says, he set his face to go towards Jerusalem. He set his face to go towards Jerusalem. Isaiah prophesied that in prophesying about the coming Messiah, that he would set his face like flint. Have you ever read that scripture? Flint is an ingredient. It's a substance that was extremely durable, extremely strong. In other words, God, Jesus, was willing to set his direction to face towards everything that God had planned for him. Everything the Father had planned for him, Jesus had set his face towards Jerusalem, knowing some of the tough things that he was going to go through. He set his face. He turned his posture. He was positioned. He was strong. He was willing. He was ready to move forward and march towards the unknown of what the Father had for him. Can I get an amen on that? And that's what God is calling us to do, is to set our face towards our future and to live forward. Not to live in the past, not to be like Uncle Rico. Come on now, some of you need to see that movie. What's it called? Napoleon Dynamite. God doesn't want us living in the past. He wants us living into the future. Now, Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, he said these words, next verse, Moses, my servant, is dead. Ouch. Now then, you, Joshua, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that I am about to give you, to give them, and to all the Israelites. In verse 3, I will give you every place where you set your foot. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Wow. Now, those are some powerful, packed scriptures, and I can't wait to talk with you about them. But before we do, let's pray together. Ask God's blessing and anointing over the word this morning. Father, we thank you for 2019. We thank you for this beautiful, sunny Sunday morning. And it's almost like we have spring fever, Lord. We just thank you for a new day, new weather, a new chance, God, to serve you and to live forward. Father, I pray that you would bless every word that comes out of my mouth. I pray that you would customize this word. I pray that you would make it so that it would land on good ground and produce a mighty harvest in the hearts of your people. Truly, God, I pray blessing, I pray encouragement, I pray hope, and I pray faith over everyone in this house and listening on the airwaves in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. 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 Well, if I were to title this message, I would title it, God Still Has a Plan. Turn to your neighbor and says, God still has a plan. All right, turn to your second favorite on the other side. And just kidding, it's a joke. God still has a plan. How many excited that no matter what happened last year, come on somebody, no matter what happened last year, God still has a plan. No matter what it looks like, no matter how it pencils out, no matter what you went through, no matter what's in your bank account, God still has a plan. Amen. It was 19 years ago, almost exactly. Actually, it was exactly the year 2000, January 1st. I started a job at a pretty well-known company. At the time, it was called Safeco Life and Investments. Now it's called Symetra in Bellevue. a life insurance company, a mutual funds company. I started there as a marketing person. I was pretty young, just pretty fresh out of college. And I started this job, and I worked there for 4 years, and come to find out that Safeco Life and Investments was being put up to be sold. And so it was being sold by this holding company, and if any of you have ever been through a transition like this, when the company you work for is being sold, it's really one of those seasons where there's a lot of unknowns. Right? There's a lot of unknowns. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know if you're going to have a job. You don't know if the departments are going to still be intact. You have no idea exactly what's going to happen. And so, you know, all the managers, they told us, you know, if you get another job somewhere, you might want to take it. If something else comes down your path, you might want to take it. And, you know, we do have a severance package for those who stay till the very end. There was a severance package and all of that. And, you know, it was a time of transition. It was a season of transition. How many of you know that sometimes you are forced into transition? Sometimes we are forced into transition. Whether we like it or not, we didn't sign up for it, but we are forced into transition. Well, lo and behold, I did get a new job. And it was a company up in Linwood somewhere, and it seemed like a nice job. It seemed like a step up for me. And so I accepted this position, and I decided to take 2 weeks off in between my old job and my new job and just take some time, you know, just to rest and relax. And so these 2 weeks went by, and it was the orientation, the day of orientation for my new job. And so I showered up, I got all ready, and I was excited to go down and visit the offices and meet some new people, come on now, and have my orientation. And as I'm literally getting into my car, my cell phone rang. Lo and behold, it was the human resources department of the company I was about to go work for. And they told me there's no need to come in today because everything has fallen through. There's no more departments. There's no funds. There's nothing left here. There's no job. And I'm like, you know, you didn't do that to me just now. Forced into transition. Now, you know, it's one thing if you've got a bunch of money in the bank, but I was in my late 20s. I was, you know, just trying to make ends meet. And for me, I just took 2 weeks off, and I needed a job. And I remember thinking, you know, when you go through something like that, you have a moment of shock, right? You have a moment of shock, and then maybe you get angry or you freak out a little bit. But just after about an hour or so, something began to set into my spirit. And that something was, I wonder what God is up to. Isn't it beautiful serving a God who's always on the throne? Amen. Isn't it beautiful to always know that Jesus is on the throne and God's always working in your life so that when something unexpected happens, when you are forced into transition, when something happens that's beyond your control, you can lean back in faith, you can lean back in trust and say, I wonder what God is up to in the middle of this unexpected transition. Come on now. I hope if anybody in here, if you're in a season of transition, if you're in a season of unknown, I want you to learn how to lean back and trust God and say, I wonder what God is up to. I mean, he must have spared me from working for some dumb company that I never was supposed to work for. God must have something better in mind for me, right? And I became a freelance marketer. People would ask me, man, how are you so brave to start, just become a freelancer and start your own business? I'm like, I don't know. Sometimes you just need to step out in faith, brother, you know, and just go for it. Little do they know, I was forced into it. Come on, some business owners out there, they're great business owners, they're entrepreneurs, but they were forced into it. Sometimes God has to force your hand. He has to push you out and cause a transition in your life so that you will move forward into things that you might have been uncomfortable doing if it had not been put upon you in that way. Some of you are like, I've been there. Well, in Joshua 1:1, the children of Israel and Joshua were forced into transition. The Bible says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aid. Now, I want to just make sure we can understand a deeper, more theological, spiritual application to this before we get into kind of a more practical thing. And the spiritual application to this is that there is a clear transition. There is a clear transfer of leadership from Moses to who? To Joshua. Did you know that the name Joshua in the Greek language is the name Jesus? Make no mistake about it, this is no coincidence that the Hebrew name, the Hebrew name Joshua is the same as the Greek name of Jesus. It's literally a transition of Moses, who is a minister of the law, to Jesus, who's an minister of grace. In other words, this is a transitional moment, and this is on purpose. This transition was forced upon Joshua. It was put upon the children of Israel. It was God orchestrating a transition in their lives that they would not have done on their own. But this transition from Moses to Joshua is a transition from law to grace. This is what it symbolizes. It symbolizes a transition from living through flesh and works into trusting in God for all things. Can I get an amen? It's a transition of wilderness wandering into living out the promises of God. And the only way to live out the promises of God and to go from self-reliance to God-reliance is to transition from a law-based system to a grace-based system that is based on putting your trust in Jesus and Him alone. This is what this all represents. Now, what's fascinating about this is that in verse 2 of Joshua 1, verse 2, it says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Moses, my servant, is dead. I would ask you this morning, has something significant died in your life? Has something significant, maybe unexpected, died in your life last year? Did something happen that was forced upon you that created a shift or a transition in your life that you didn't plan, you didn't orchestrate, you didn't pencil it out that way? That's not what was on your agenda or your calendar, but it was something that happened in your life that created this shift in your life that you had no control over. I want to tell you something. To the people of Israel, Moses wasn't just some guy. Moses was epic. For Moses to die and for them to not have reached the promised land was a big deal. Moses was the man who God used to lead them out of Egypt. I mean, he was the one who delivered them and rescued them out of Egypt. He's the one who God used to speak through and to part the Red Sea when he put a staff. All of these incredible, amazing things happened through Moses. And now, Lord, you're trying to tell me that we got to go forward into the promises you have for us. We haven't even reached the promises. But you're telling me that Moses isn't going to be with us? Yeah. Yeah, this is an epic situation. Moses, our prophet, our leader, the one we know God speaks through, the one who God has confirmed, and we've seen miracles and we've seen awesome things happen through the hands and through the mouth of Moses, he is no longer with us. He's no longer going to be in our situation. He's no longer part of our future. And the people of Israel were forced into transition. I wonder if there's maybe a job or a business that didn't work out the way that you expected it to work out. I wonder if there's a relationship in your life in the past that didn't work out the way that you had expected it to work out. I wonder if there's a ministry that you were a part of and it didn't work out the way that you thought it would work out. I wonder if there's a plan that you had, or you had it all figured out. You worked it all out. You mapped it all out because you're a planner, right? And you map it out. And you see, you know how you're going to get from point A to point B to point C, and you're going to get all the way, and then this is the life that you had planned for yourself, only to find out that thing died. And it was big, it was epic, it was disappointing. The job fell right from under you. The marriage dissolved unexpectedly, and you did everything you could. The ministry didn't work out. The business didn't work out. The job didn't work out. The relationship didn't work out. And here you are left to pick up the pieces. If you've experienced anything like that, I want to talk to you this morning. Because we're going to find out in the scripture how amazing God is. And in fact, the things that seem like a loss in our life are actually a gain. Things that seem like it created a situation where it could never be the way God had planned it to be anymore. What if, in fact, that very transition, that very thing that was forced upon you, is the catalyst to bring it about the way exactly the way God wanted it to be? Not that God causes everything. Not that every bad thing or every problem in our lives, God is the author of that. But the Bible does say that he works all things together for good, does it not? It's somewhere in your chaos and somewhere in your loss and somewhere in your unexpected transition, God is sovereign in that situation. And this is what God wants us to see. Now listen, it says, not only did Moses, my servant, die? I want to think about this for a minute. What goes along with that epic thing in your life that is no longer a possibility? In the first verse, it kind of talked sort of matter of fact of that Moses was no longer around. But in this verse, God's speaking directly to Joshua. And it's as if he really hammers it home. Listen, Joshua. Moses, my servant, is dead. I mean, it's not as if Joshua didn't already know that, right? Joshua knew Moses was dead. They'd already been mourning his death. They mourned his death for 30 days. But it's as if the Lord wants to really communicate to Joshua very specifically. Joshua. He's gone. Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. In other words, Joshua, the way you thought this might go down, it's not going down that way. The way everybody visualized it, the way everyone sort of, you know, really believed that God was doing this thing, it's not happening the way that you guys thought it was going to happen. And this is the reality. This is where we have to connect our reality to our faith. We have to reconcile with the fact that the way we thought things were going to go down, it didn't go down that way, right? And so God is telling Joshua, it didn't go down that way. It's not going to be Moses. It's not going to happen the way you thought. It's not going to happen the way the people thought. And it's not going to happen using a person that you've grown familiar and accustomed to using. In other words, the people were used to Moses leading them. I mean, for 40 years he was leading them. Now they have a new leader. Joshua's that new leader. And the what was comfortable to Joshua, being just a servant to Moses, now he's the leader. And what was comfortable to the children of Israel, having Moses as their spokesperson, having Moses as the one who would lead and guide them, with Moses with this track record of miracles and all these breakthroughs and amazing things that would happen, it would no longer be a comfortable vehicle or a comfortable mechanism that would lead them into the promised land. Come on now. You see, sometimes God brings unexpected transitions into our lives because he wants to teach us that it was never the vehicle. It was never that person. It was never your effort. It was never what you thought it was. It was always me, God, the source behind the direction that I was moving you into. You see, sometimes we get so hung up on the method God uses, the person God uses. He needs to remove us from that method and remove us from that person so we can see him come through in our lives in a different vehicle, in a different method, using a different way. Amen? This is where God takes you out and suspends you from everything that's comfortable, from everything that's familiar. And he says, watch me work in your life anyhow. Watch me work in your life, even though the great Moses is no longer with us. Moses is dead. I want to submit to you, those plans that God did not allow to happen in your life, they're dead. That situation where God turned course, that situation, God's doing something different. God's doing something new. And this is where he wants to take us. God wants to take us from what was comfortable and familiar. He wants to take us from meditating and dwelling on the past, what didn't happen, what did happen, my successes, my failures, my shortcomings, all these things. He wants us to live forward. And he wants us to rely on him, not ourselves. Remember, it's going from law to grace. From flesh to trust. From wilderness wandering to actually walking out the promises of God. In order to do that, often God has to strip away from us our plans and our thoughts and the way we thought it would go down and the people we thought he would use. And lo and behold, suspend us out there in this place of uncertainty where it could no longer be us or our friends or the people we've always leaned on. It's going to be God or nothing. This, ladies and gentlemen, is the pathway to the promised land that God has promised in our lives. Now, I love what happens here in the next part of this same verse. Because the Bible says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then. When? Now then. You see, this is what happens when we're looking backwards too much. God has a now in our life, but we don't know about the now because we're still looking backwards. Did I put up those scriptures, Isaiah 43, 17 and 18? I did. This was the scriptures we went over the last service we had. It's a great message. I highly encourage you to listen to it online. Go to the website, thegraceroad.org. Watch it. There's three pieces to these two scriptures that we looked at. It says, forget the former things. This is the prophet Isaiah. Forget the former things and do not dwell on the past. You see, you can't move into your future so long as you're still dwelling on your past. You've got to let go of your past, celebrate the successes, but just see and believe that God is doing new things. You forget the former things. You don't dwell on the past. B, you see that he's doing a new thing. It says, do you not perceive it? The idea of perception is to see something that is not completely visible in the natural yet. You see something in the spirit. You're perceiving something that God's doing, even though you wouldn't see everything already manifested. You begin to sense what God is doing. You begin to see in the spirit about what God is doing. You begin to rise up and you have faith toward things that God is doing, right? So you forget the past, you see what he's doing, and then you trust him as you move forward. In part C, I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. When you move forward into the promised land, it's God who makes a way. It can no longer be a Moses. It can no longer be you. It can no longer be your old plans. It can no longer be your old way. Into the promised land, what God has for you, it will be him who makes a way. He will create a way in the wilderness. He will make streams in a wasteland. Come on, somebody. And God wants us to face our future and live forward. So in Joshua 1:2, to get back to the scripture, he says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you will see these people. Get ready to cross the Jordan. If you're taking notes, write that. Get ready to cross the Jordan. Get ready to cross the Jordan. The Jordan River is very specific. It's very important. It's very significant in the Bible. Because the Jordan River represents transition. The only way to get out of the wilderness and into the promised land, which is a land with actual borders that God had promised them, it's very literal here. This is the land that God had promised them. The only way for them to get to the promised land is to go through the Jordan River. And the Jordan River represents transition. And the only way to move towards the Jordan River of transition is to face forward, to live forward. To forget the shame of yesterday. Now, as long as we're still caught up in shame about what we did or about what we didn't do, we can't effectively move forward into the things God has for us in 2019. God wants you to drop the shame. He was shamed on the cross so that you don't have to be ashamed any longer. God wants you to forget about your regrets. There's a lot of things we could have done differently in 2018. Come on now. There's a lot of things that I should have said. There's a lot of things I shouldn't have said. But I'm not going to dwell on what I should have done or could have done because I got a 2019 to walk into. Come on now. There's a lot of people that I could hold on to bitterness towards. There's a lot of people that you can hold on to bitterness and not be forgiving towards them. But as long as you have bitterness in your heart towards other people, come on now, you can't walk into the new things God has for you. Amen? Because bitterness, this is not the way life God planned our life. The Bible says you have freely received the gift of forgiveness from the Father. Now freely give that gift of forgiveness to other people. Come on now, somebody. Let's move into 2019 on the right foot, on the right page. If somebody offended you, forgive them. Love them. If I offended you, forgive me and love me. I'm very lovable when you get to know me. If you've done something to me, vice versa, let's forgive each other. Come on, nobody's perfect. Let's move into 2019 and let's charge forward into the things God has for us. Amen? Amen? We got to let go of yesterday. Lo and behold, if there's one thing that we can transition into and leave behind, it's the old way of thinking. Old habits, they're not doing us any good, right? Old things that God, you know, he doesn't want us to bring those things across the Jordan River. So those things in our lives that God's asked us to drop, relationships, habits, things that we do, things that, you know, we prioritize that really have no place in our lives anyway. It doesn't always have to be a big, huge, bad thing. Maybe it's just God's just been asking some things of you, and it's those minor transitions in our lives that God's looking for in our lives as we cross the Jordan, we transition into the things that he has for us in the future. Come on, lay aside those weights and those sins and those things that so easily entangle us. Let them go. Let's move forward into 2019. Be about God's business. Amen? We've got to face forward, let go of the shame, and don't bring these old things in. And we might make mistakes. Of course, we all make mistakes, and we're going to make a lot of mistakes in 2019 too. But the things that we can intentionally reprioritize and intentionally, you know, shift around in our lives to position us to move forward, let's do those things. Amen? Some of you, you got bondages on your life, and you know the only way forward is to face your bondage head on and tackle it and deal with it. God says, let 2019 be the year where you face your Jerusalem. And you say, this thing is not God's freedom. This thing is not God's plan. This thing is not God's promised land. And this thing I'm going to tackle head on. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? I'm going to tackle my health situation. I'm going to tackle my addictive bondage situation. I'm going to tackle these things that my marriage, I'm going to tackle them. I'm going to face them. I'm going to do like Jesus did. I'm going to face forward, face my Jerusalem, have a face like flint. I'm not going to waver. I'm going to be stubborn in the things of God. I'm not going to be distracted. I'm going to be committed. I'm going to be intentional about how I move forward across this Jordan River. You see, because here's the catch. The Jordan River and moving into the promised land. You know, we sing that old hymn. What is it? Sweet low, sweet chariots, coming for to carry me home. I looked over the Jordan, what did I see? Coming. I don't know the lyrics, but... That lyric is actually mistaken. It's a great song. But it's not heaven that the promised land represents. We read this in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 3 and 4. It's not heaven that's on the other side of the promised land. And this is a lot of old, kind of old theology. It's not heaven like you cross the Jordan and the chariots are going to carry me home. I'm in heaven. Now, we do have a heavenly home, and our spiritual location is in heavenly places. But when the Bible talks about crossing the Jordan into a promised land, that promised land is a place of spiritual rest and spiritual victory and spiritual freedom, where you are walking out and experiencing in your life the liberty and freedoms that God has promised you. Can I get an amen? In other words, it's time to get out of the wilderness living, and it's time to be intentional about living out the promises God has for our lives, about facing the things that we need to face. About, you know, when they crossed the Jordan into the promised land, they knew there were enemies in there waiting for them. It's not like they just crossed the Jordan, it was la-di-da, you know, let's just skip through the fields and, you know, sing kumbaya by the campfire. They had to take Canaan. There were battles to be fought. There were beasts in the field. But the only way to get towards your freedom is to face those things that are looking you down, to face your Goliaths, to face your issues, to face these things. Some of you got to go have a conversation with somebody because you have bitterness towards them. You got to deal with it this year. Some of you got to go get some help. You got to deal with your issue this year. Because God has a life of freedom planned for you. And your freedom requires a fight. Come on now. Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Do not allow the enemy to take anything from you that he has no business taking from you. You deserve. God has given you peace, joy, victory, prosperity in your soul, blessings and breakthrough, all the provision from heaven. God has promised these things to you. He's promised you a blessed marriage. He's promised you a blessed vocation. He's promised you a blessed everything. Not always going to be easy. You see, but the thing is that you have to move in and take your promised land because it is currently being occupied. And these people who are occupying your promises need to be dispossessed from the land that they're occupying in your spiritual life. Do you follow me? You see, they had to go into a land that God had promised them and drive out the inhabitants of the land. Some of you, you have to drive out the inhabitants of the areas in your life that the enemy has occupied and is stealing from you your joy, your peace, your breakthrough, all the things God wants to do in your life. You're going to have to fight for those things. Amen? Next week, we're going to be coming out of another scripture that was actually a prophecy from Moses to the children of Israel when they did enter the promised land. And it's going to be about exactly what I'm talking about. Here, there, a little here, and a little there. You don't want to miss next week. You see, because crossing the Jordan and getting into the promised land brings you into the path that God has for you. And then there's a whole new set of battles. There's a whole new set of devils. And God wants you to learn how to have victory and to claim the territory that he has. Come on, somebody. I didn't always know how to have peace in the Lord. I didn't always know how to have faith in the Lord. The devil would whoop me up one side and down the other. I spent my whole 20s freaking out. I spent my 30s intermittently victorious. But you grow strong in the Lord and you learn how to walk it out in faith. And you don't say, devil, I'm going to give that part of my life to you. You say, forget you, devil. I'm going to claim this. I'm going to fight for this. You don't get this in my life. You don't get to take my mind. You don't get to take my future. You don't get to take my peace. You don't get to take my children. They're mine. God has promised them to me. The promised land is learning how to trust Jesus. Instead of the old thing God used to do, the old ways God used to do it. Because God does have his breakthrough for you. God does have promise for you. God's plans for you are incredible. I want to close with verse 3 and leave you greatly encouraged. Listen closely. Listen carefully. Moses was dead. But God's promise was not dead. Your Moses may have died. Your plans may have died. Your mechanisms and way of doing things may have died. But I'm here to tell you that even though your Moses died, God's plan never died for you. God's promises never died for you. Moses is gone. God's promise lives on forever. He says, I will give you every place where you set your foot as I promised Moses. It was never about Moses, people. It was always about me. I'm going to give you these things. I'm going to bless you with these things. The same thing I told you through the person of Moses, I'm telling you through the person of Joshua. The same promised land I promised 20 years ago, I'm still promising you those same things today. Come on now. Some of you think because your Moses died, the promise died with it. Your promise is alive. Your breakthrough is alive. Your next step is within reach. Your next step is the promised land. So face your Jordan. Walk through it. Face forward. Believe strong. Move into the faith of God. Don't give the devil any access into your life. Notice he says, I will give you every place where you set your foot. In other words, you can't take that territory unless you are setting your foot and walking right onto that land. Devil, I claim this land. This no longer belongs to you. I'm going to fight for it and contend for it. I've got every spiritual resource. I got the armor of God. I've got all of heaven backing me up. I've got my church backing me up. We've got prayers going up about this. I'm believing for this. I'm standing on this. I know the word. I got the scripture in my heart. You have no more claim over the promises in my life. You see, you got to walk right out into that promised land. And you got to step where God's telling you to step. Because your healing is available to you. Your breakthrough is available to you. But there are some things you got to contend for. There's some things you got to fight for. There's some things you got to go to God and pray for. There's some things you got to start supplicating for. There's some things you got to get on your knees and go talk to a pastor and start going to some people who can help you and really get down to business on this thing. Listen, I've been in some kind of bondages. I've been through anxiety and depression and all kinds of things. I thought I would never get out of them. God kept promising me, you're going to get out of this. You're going to fight your way out of this. You know, you see, renewing your mind is a process. Learning how to cast down every thought and imagination. Some of you feel like you're so entangled, you're so strangled in your own mind, you'll never get out of it. That's a lie. Your victory is within reach. God will help you. But you got to face forward and live forward and walk right towards your Jerusalem and say, I'm going here, devil, whether you like it or not. I will give you every place where you set your foot. Every place in the promised land, every area you will choose to walk into that I have promised you, I will give to you. The same way I promised it to Moses. Your circumstance may have changed, but your promise never changed. Your dream might have changed, but God's dream never changed. Your path might have changed, but God's destination for you never changed. Jeremiah 29:11, the prophet says, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and to not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Spoken to a rebellious people in the bondage of sin, saying, you don't have to stay there anymore. I still believe in you, the Lord says. I'm still going to create a future for you. Let's stand to our feet. Let's just stand to our feet. I just want to worship the Lord together. I hope you're feeling blessed and encouraged this morning. Are you ready to tackle 2019? Come on. Are you ready to take new territory in 2019? Are you ready to face your Goliaths in 2019? Come on. Those Goliaths are speaking. They're talking smack to you. Start talking smack to the devil. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine defying the armies of God? Start talking to the devil. Some of you are like, oh, I've never been in a church like this. Don't worry about it. Just start speaking faith in your circumstance and situation. Father, Father, we thank you so much for your grace and mercy. I pray for a spirit of victory in your people this morning. I pray for a spirit of breakthrough in your people this morning. I pray for a spirit, God, of boldness in your people this morning. Lord, I pray that your people, they would begin to move forward and tackle the issues in their life that they know they need to face down this year. God, you have promise for your people. You have breakthrough for your people. You have blessing for your people. You have all good things in store for your people, Lord. Let us take them this year, God. So I release into your people. I release in everyone in this building. I release in everyone listening on the airwaves or watching it online. I release into you a spirit of belief and a spirit of faith to move forward into the promised land that God has for you, that you would not allow the enemy to have anything in your life that does not belong to him. God, I thank you for these things. I pray these things. I believe these things in the name of Jesus. Let everyone say amen. We're going to worship the Lord and then move into our offering service. Let's lift up the Lord.